We want to start off with a reminder that we are not doctors. Before you make any changes or try something new, always consult with your doctor or medical team first. Chronic illness can vary from patient to patient, so it's always best to consult with your own doctor for what is best for you.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of IBD Determined. I'm your host, Mason Harvey, and I have Crohn's disease. I speak from the role of a patient.
And I'm Michelle Harvey. I'm Mason's mom, and I speak from the role of a caregiver. And before we get started today, I think we should, since we always try to be like transparent and talk about what's going on in everything, our lives regarding IBD and whatever Mason's comfortable with.
So I might be going to a flare. Right now, it seems like it's not a big one. But it's kind of weird because some of the main signs aren't there. My appetite usually, like, before the flare even hits, usually
decreases.
You can tell because my appetite isn't, I'm not as hungry as I usually am.
Yeah.
But I my appetite is still staying the same, so that's good.
Yeah. We're watching your weight.
Yeah, my weight, it's dropping a little bit, but yeah, not much. So it's not that bad.
And we think what's going on is because everything's been going really well, and they tried to do a treatment change to give Mason a little bit more freedom. Yes.
We tried going to 5 weeks and then 6 weeks, and 6 weeks is a bit too much. I think
5 weeks was too much because we haven't even got to 6 weeks.
I did get to 5 weeks.
Yeah. And his doctor is keeping an eye on it. She is aware of it. And, you know, there's a chance we may have to go back to the infusion schedule that we were used to. The problem is you get a taste of freedom.
And you're like, oh, that feels so good. And you're like, dang it.
It has been amazing just to have, like, 3 weeks where we didn't have to go to a doctor's appointment. And that was incredible. And so, yeah, so it's kind of like, oh, we're so excited about it. So that's kind of where the disappointment is. So, you know, but we will get through it and we'll figure it out. See if this is nothing or a flare. If it is, it's staying pretty steady. And you are getting a Stelara treatment on Tuesday. So hopefully that may help
something out, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. So we'll see. So we'll update you guys next week and let you know how he's doing. But we've been just taking it easy, making sure he's eating, drinking his supplemental drinks, and just doing everything right that we can. And yeah, other than that, it's just kind of, we'll see what happens Tuesday when we get his Stelara. And that's in like 3 days.
Yes.
Yeah, so from when we're filming this. So
3 days from when we're filming it, not when it's coming out. By then
you'll have received it. Yeah. So that's kind of what's going on.
Fun things that we go through in our daily lives.
Yeah. And I think it's important to share because sometimes you get really comfortable and you're thinking, wow, things are going really well. And, you know, and then it's hard when you have a setback to not get discouraged and feel frustrated. But then, you know, you get over those feelings and you're just like, all right, it's part of it. And we just have to figure out how to make the best of it and how to get him healthy again and keep moving forward. So that's what we're doing. And so since, you know, that's pretty much all we got to share, and we're going to move on to today's episode. It's not too long of an episode, but it's an important one.
Yes.
And we're kind of recapping again. We're doing our series on IBD Day at Rady's and what was covered. And so today's is going to cover research, which was one of the things that was discussed. And so we're going to present to you guys the notes that we took along with a few other things. And the cool part is the research part was presented by
Dr. B, my doctor.
Yep, by his doctor, which is really cool. And she's just, we can't speak highly enough for her because not only is she a fighter for Mason and, you know, for insurance, she like doesn't let go.
No.
She is like,
she'll fight insurance.
Yeah. She's like, all right, who do I have to write a letter to? Who do I have to speak to? And like, she has all her research ready. She is excellent with that. Yes. And we have the utmost respect for her and her efforts. And even trying to give this 6-week break to Mason, you know, between, because she, they do a lot of things realizing the lives of the patients too.
Like, it's not just the physical health, it's the mental health too.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
you have to go somewhere. You have to have, maybe you can't just not do things because of this disease. You have to try to do other things.
And so that's something they try to do, is balance that. And so they had taken the levels and thought, hey, Mason
can possibly
do this with 6 weeks.
And so it was like, nah.
Yeah. So, you know, and maybe it still will. We'll see. Yeah. But, you know, it happens.
Might be that little booster.
But I appreciate her trying and recognizing that it will be a better quality of life for you if we could do that for many reasons. So Dr. B was talking about why research is so important in IBD. And this is probably something not everybody thinks about. And I think it's important for us to, this is a great time actually to mention the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, because that's really what, well, it's not what they're all about, but it's a huge part of what the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation is about. You know, one of the things is that, you know, the foundation is considered to be a very trustworthy source for all IBD patients, and it educates, guides, and supports them from, you know, every step of the way. Wherever you're at in your journey, they're there to help. And I know some people, you know, there's a lot of people are like, but, you know, who is the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation? What do they do? Well, look it up, research them. They're very open about, you know, where they receive funding from, where they donate to, you know, what research they take part in, what they give back to. It's a great foundation. And so I think it's important because they're hand in hand with research.
I actually used one of their sources.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I did use one of their sources. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You
for
did.
A paper I wrote.
Yeah, you had an essay you wrote and you got to use them. Yeah, they're a great source. And I think since we're talking about research, it was just important to throw that in there and mention what a great thing they're doing. And this is why we're always trying to raise awareness and funds and support them however we can.
Yeah.
And so Dr. B started off with why research is so important.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've mentioned on another episode our own experience with biologics. And I think anybody listening who's tried to get a biologic, at some point you've had a denial. And that could be when you were just trying to get the biologic.
Yeah, because it might be too expensive and insurance is like, no. Nope,
yep, insurance is like, no, I'm not going to do that. And so maybe they wanted you to try something else first. And or maybe you were trying to go from 8 weeks to 6 weeks or 8 weeks to 4 weeks and you might have got, you know, some kind
maybe
of
maybe they didn't
denial.
Want you to try Stelara. Maybe they wanted you to try a biosimilar of that. Maybe.
Right. So there's all these things. And one of the main things like for Mason is dual biologics.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's on two.
Not many Crohn's patients are on dual biologics.
No.
And I'm a kid on dual biologics.
Right. So there's like, a whole nother level of rarity there. And so the thing that we faced when we were trying to get permission from our insurance is that there's not a whole lot of research out there showing the safety of this or showing the outcomes, you know, how beneficial it is. So a lot of it, if anything, is done in the adult research world.
Mm.
And even there's not a whole lot yet. So for us, our doctor had to really search and find articles and find doctors that had supported this and do her homework. And so it was really important that there was research out there that showed this would be effective for Mason. And luckily we did get that approval. So it was helpful. Speaking on, we mentioned this in the, we kind of touched on some of these. So you're going to hear repeat a little bit of what we talked about in the
last episode,
that overview of the whole Rady's Day. But one of the things is Dr. B is also an academic doctor. Which, do you remember what that is?
I forget what that is, probably.
So that's a doctor who also does research work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, research.
Right.
Okay,
and research so, doctor. Yeah, some doctors, not all of them also do research. And she's one of them.
She does research.
Right. So that's an academic doctor. And one of the hurdles they face is there's not as much data for kids.
It's hard to do research on kids.
Right.
There's not as many kids.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's many reasons why this research is so important for kids. And it's one of the things is it gives them access to new treatments.
Yeah.
And that helps with getting those approvals.
And maybe like the reason why Crohn's can start out so young in certain kids. And then like me, if you're, I got it when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
So they can figure out why maybe there's different kinds that affect different ages.
Right.
Or maybe I did have it the entire time.
Yeah.
It was woken up by something that potentially caused it.
Yeah.
But like what causes it to wake up at a certain age or things like that.
And you know, one of the other things we just talked about is the approvals too. It helps with getting those insurance approvals. So like everything you mentioned, very important to end getting those approvals for when you need a treatment. And it also, it's kind of like what we do and what you do especially, because I say we as a team when we talk about caregiving and patient, but you as a patient, it gives you an active part in healing and giving back as well. If you were to be able to participate in research, you know, I think that a lot of adults get to do that. And I think, you know, if you're a child trying to make that decision, I think, you know, you found a lot of healing in being active in it. Yes. And speaking out and attending events. So you really, that was very healing for you. And so I think research and volunteering is another way to do
it's
that.
It's not like, I can't be a nurse. I can't be a doctor. I can be a speaker. I can't donate blood to people who need it, but I can help
raise awareness
and research behind all this stuff. And that's the best I can do currently.
And so that's kind of something for you guys to consider out there if you have kids and they've been asked to be a part of a research project. Also letting them know that it helps future kids. And so some of you might feel like, hey, well, is this going to help me tomorrow if I do this? It's like, no.
It's going to help future generations.
It's going to help future. It may help you too.
Yeah, I mean, help you when you're older. But
and depending what the project is, But yes, but knowing that you're going to help someone in the future is so important. It's really important to look at it like this and not just stay focused in your day and what's going on in your life. And
you have the lives you can save, of the potential lives you can save in the future of people. You know, they may not know you, but you know what? You can see all these people that you're just changing lives. And it's
right. So just cool. Like all the people who had to be in the test groups from Remicade before it was a popular drug or Stelara.
Most people didn't know how it would work or affect them, but they tried it. And
because of that,
it's a drug that is used for people today.
Yeah. So there had to be a research. There has to be something going on before this can get approved. And so there's a lot of brave people out there and really kind people who were part of those studies and have changed the future. So we're looking at a lot of this like, well, what's it going to do? It's like, well, maybe we're not going to see the results tomorrow. Maybe not a year from now. Maybe not two. You know, who knows?
But it could change something.
Yeah. So it's important and it has to happen. Yeah. It's important to keep this going. And so something else she covered was something called principles of research. One of the things that she went into when she's discussing this is that it is voluntary. So they're not going to take like Mason, be like, Mason, you have to do this research project. You're not going to be like, no, I don't want to. Like, yes, you are.
Oh, yes, you are. I'm like, right. I can decide if I want to do that.
And so, I mean, that probably seems like a lot of common sense out there. You're probably thinking, well, of course they can't force you, but it is voluntary. So you don't have to do it. Right. And there's nothing that's going to be held against you if you say no. It's like, no, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. And they also have an institutional review board that they report to as the doctors for the standards and for how these are being conducted. It's very different having a child with this disease than being an adult, because like Mason's not going to go in and be able to give permission to do everything. I also take Mason into account, and we have discussions before we make decisions for him. So having consent and assent from parent and child is very important for a research project.
Definitely.
So yeah, it's important to make sure that everybody is on board, make sure your child is on board, and that is what they're going to check. They're going to make sure that not only is the parent, the parent might be like, oh my gosh, this is a great idea. It's painless. It's an easy one. It's just, you know, whatever it is for this research project. And the child might be like, no, I don't want to. And so they're still not going to force a child, even if a parent is adamant. So it's very important for them to have, you know, the whole team. And that's how we do a lot of stuff with this, is having, you know, taking everything into consideration. You can also, like we had mentioned, you can withdraw at any time. So if you get started on one and you're like, this is more work than we thought, or it's not working with your schedule or whatever it might be, just don't want to do it anymore, you can withdraw.
It's not like if you start it, you're forced to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can just stop at any time you want and you're not forced.
Right. So it should give you more confidence going into it. Like, what if I don't like it? Well, then you just say, no, thank you. And so in addition to being able to withdraw at any time, there's incentives that they can give you to participate in these. I mean, among the incentives of just trying to help out and understand research is important and necessary, some of the incentives can be monetary. They may pay you for your time. Some can be medication. So say they're trying something new. Maybe you've been through a bunch of biologics and everything has failed you. And so maybe there's a new medication and you can get it for free.
Yeah, you can get it for free.
That's a big deal.
Getting a free biologic that costs $21,000.
Yeah, getting it for free is a big deal. I mean, it's even a bigger deal if it works. But, maybe you've tried things and maybe you're not feeling well. So trying that would not be a bad option and you would get your treatment for free. So
if everything else hasn't worked, heck, why not try it?
Yeah, see if it works.
You might find the new Remicade.
Yeah, that would be really cool to be a part of, to take something and feel better and realize, oh my gosh.
New next generation.
There's a new drug that helps people.
But like if it didn't work for you and the other ones didn't work for you, it's like the next generation and they might be able to figure out what's in that is helping you. That's not helping other people. Maybe there's something behind that. And you might find the next generation of biologics by doing that.
Yeah, which is kind of, I mean, I think Remicade is like the old school now. Yes, and like you're in some of the newer ones. You're more the new generation with Stelara and Entyvio too. But then there's even newer ones now, like Skyrizi and Rinvoq. Like there's even another generation. And so there's more generations of these biologics that keep coming out. And I think it's incredible. And it's
like, you know how there's the baby boom? I guess you could call this the biologic
boom. Yeah, a biologic boom. Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's more than ever right now. And that's due to research, which is incredibly important. And
which is great.
One of the things we joked about last week is something like a free MRI. But, you know, maybe you're in need of an MRI and maybe your insurance doesn't want to pay for that. Or maybe your copay is really high. And so an MRI and colonoscopies are kind of part of your regular maintenance.
Yes.
Like if you're, you know, for someone with Crohn's. And so
they're quite pricey.
Yeah, they are. They are. And so maybe something like a free MRI is a great incentive to you out there. Like, okay, well,
free.
Cool. I can have that done. And so, so there's things like that. One of the things she mentioned, which I'm not going to go into all of them because they're specific to our hospital, but there's five different areas of research that our hospital is currently working on. And like some of them, you know, there's like 11 other hospitals working on things. And so they're part of a kind of a cohort where this hospital is working with 11 others or 10 others or whatever it is. And so some of you might be listening going, well, where do we find all these research projects? And the answer is with your doctor. Like they told Mason, more than likely they're going to contact him if they want him to be a part of something. Mason doesn't have to walk in and say, so
hey, can I be part of whatever this is? I just know what this is. The doctor's going
to
ask.
Right. Yeah. The doctor's going to come to you and say, hey, you fit this profile. This is what we're looking for. So that's kind of how it will happen. So maybe some of you out there are part of a research project, which that's really cool. And we're happy, you know, happy that it's happening like that. And we'd love to hear maybe if, you know, let us know. You don't have to tell us exactly what it is, but if you are, let us know that you volunteer for something, that you guys are part of a research study. So it's pretty cool. Something that I looked up, this is, you know, beyond what she talked about, the need for novel therapies is really important for kids. And one of the reasons, and I looked at it, was Dr. Jan Wiekamp. I believe that's how her name is pronounced.
Wiekamp,
yeah. And she did an article on the importance of pediatric research in inflammatory bowel disease. Okay. So one of the things that she mentioned, and I'm just going to kind of read from it so I don't mess up what she said, but children with IBD must manage the disease for a much longer duration than adults. And disease symptoms and management can interfere with life milestones for kids. So you got to think about it. They're growing, they're progressing through puberty, they're trying to be physically active, maintain their mental health and wellness. And in addition to school and all other sorts of things, they're planning for adult life. And so these are
certain biologics may stunt growth and might make you
steroids.
Yeah, they might make you feel tired.
Right.
So you may not be as active.
So all these things, you know, it's a lot for a kid to go through. And so what she said is like these interferences can go through an entire family. And when complications from the disease and the disease management, which we've talked about, disease management is something like she said, including doctor's visits, hospitalizations, and infusion therapies. And it can require families to rearrange work, school, extracurricular activities, and sometimes it's at a great cost. And I don't think a lot of people think about that and the impact it has. And if Mason had siblings, it would also impact them as well, because I know our lives have been impacted and changed greatly.
You can't take them all to the hospital.
No, somebody's got to get them to school.
So maybe like dad would have to stay home and she would have to drive me to the hospital. And then he'd have to drive down to the hospital.
And even for like infusion therapies, you know, when they're like theirs are during the week and having to take off work and get there and then make sure you're getting paid because somebody has to pay for those infusion therapies. Yes. And school, like we're homeschooling. And so some people homeschool and that's a whole nother time factor to consider. So children with IBD and their families, it's a lot. And that's why it's so important to try to continue research because things need to change. There's an unmet need. There's an unmet need for novel therapies in pediatrics. And so like one of the facts that was in this article, as of 2023, there are only two approved biologic therapies. Mm-hmm. And those are in the same class.
Only two.
Yeah, which I believe, it doesn't say what it is, but I believe it's Remicade and Humira.
And that's
because they're in the same class.
And there's only two that are approved for...
For kids.
For kids, okay.
For two adults. Approved biologic therapies as of 2023. Things may be changing from when this article was written, but...
It's 2024 now.
And the problem with that is the same class. So if you take Remicade...
If one doesn't work, then the other one's not going to work, most likely.
Right.
If the first one didn't work, there's a very good chance that then the other one's not going to work.
Right. So if the only two that are approved are from the same class...
How's that going to help?
Limiting. And if it was like in your case, you're on two that are not yet approved. And that's where we had a fight. And so anyways, a lack of treatment options means younger patients do not have the same access to therapies adults have. So adults out there, you guys can try anything you want. There's, you know, well, I mean, within reason and what your insurance says is okay. What your budget also says is okay. But they're available to you. And we're for kids. They're not. And that is, there's so many more hurdles to jump through to get a child access to the same therapies that maybe you as an adult are taking right now.
Come on, insurance, can't you just help a kid?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they don't have the research there to say, hey, this is safe for him, you know? And so they're like sitting here. Yeah, so they have a loophole because they can be like, we don't have to pay for it because there's nothing saying it's safe for his age.
I don't know what this is anyway.
Right, and so they've like, all right, so we're trying to sew up those loopholes and make it harder for insurance to say that and put research out there showing that these do work, like someone like Mason, how he is doing. And you can see right now too, we just adjusted the small change in treatment. What happens?
What can happen?
So things like the timing, things like the dosage, everything is really important. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that you're listening to and you're hearing us say this is, well, how do we test on children? And that's the problem right there, because it's not ethically acceptable for any doctors, you know, or parents to like say agree to like give one of the kids, like say you have two kids and you're like, okay, one of you's going to get a placebo, one of you's going to get the real drug. Oh my gosh, like the one who got the placebo could do terribly, and you can't do that to a kid. Now if an adult consents to it and says, yes, I understand the risks, yes, I want to do that, that's different. But you cannot do that with a child. I guess what that does, it makes it impossible to design a perfect study in pediatric IBD because you don't have that control group. You don't have a group on placebos. So there are, though, definitely ways to still get quality evidence of a study. And so that's what that's what Dr. B was mentioning. So you can still get a good study. You don't necessarily won't be able to do it the same way adults do it. But it's still important to figure out a way to do it and how to do it safely. And that's what they're doing. So any of these research projects on kids are being done safely and again with consent. And
they're
not going to be giving your kid a placebo and like, well, we'll see what happens.
That's so messed up.
It would be terrible. Yeah. So and the other thing to consider is dose selection and safety might be different for a child than an adult. Mm-hmm. So what is approved for an adult may still not be safe for a child. And so anyways, with all of this, it just basically shows you that there's still hurdles to get through, but research is extremely important and we need to keep these things going so more kids have more options available to them. And the more options really available to adults, they do become available to kids. Yes. Just harder, you have to fight a lot harder for them. But it's important to still do the research in the adult arena because kids will benefit from that. But it would sure be great if they could do more for the kids. So insurance, that we don't have to go through 2 months of fighting with insurance to get permission for something the doctor is saying will help your child. So
to help find research to help kids and maybe adults.
Yeah. And it's a good time to mention Take Steps again. Oh, yes. I know we mentioned it last week, but Take Steps is happening here, our local one. There's ones all over the United States, but we're all coming together. Everyone's, you know, forming teams. It's just a fun way to do it. But everyone's,
we're all forming teams and we're heading to the battle. Just kidding. We're all going to take a walk.
Yeah, just a walk.
Yes, it's one big family.
A walk, but battling IBD together.
Yes, battling IBD. So,
raising funds to continue to find new treatments and breakthroughs and hopefully a cure. Yes. And so that's what it's all about. That kind of wraps up what she talked about and a few things we want to mention from that article. And just kind of remind everybody out there that if, you know, it's entirely up to you, you don't feel pressure into anything, but just want to remind you of the importance of
research and testing.
Yeah. So with that, you guys can follow us on Instagram at Team IB Determined, and you can, you know, see all kinds of things going on in our life.
Finding little adventures throughout our lives.
Yeah. Watch those. See just what's going on in our lives. You can also follow the Reggie Project. If you guys want to share part of your journey and take a picture of you with Reggie, we can post it on there. So if you haven't done it, please do it. We'd love to see some kids doing that. Even if you don't want their face on there, you can put an emoji over the face, or you can just show Reggie, you know, zoom in.
Reggie, and I'm over here.
Yeah.
Or you like, can you're not like there.
Right.
Out of the shot.
Right. So we'd love to see that.
Yeah.
And then if you want to continue listening to us, if, you know, depending how you do, you listen to us on any podcast station on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube.
And if you are on YouTube,
because you can watch us on there.
Yeah, make sure if you want to watch us and you want to listen to us, make sure you go to YouTube. But if you are on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. And if you want to be notified every time we post a video, make sure to hit that bell. Make sure you can leave a comment if you want. Maybe help us out with video ideas.
Yeah, what you like to see us talk about.
What you're related with in the episode, what brought you to the podcast.
Yeah.
If you just want to
say hi. It helps. It helps because it's going to help others. It's like research.
Yes.
It's helping us do our research. So we can do better for you guys.
We'll respond.
Yep.
We read every single one.
We do.
Yes.
And we appreciate it. And we're thankful for all of you listening. And we're hoping that we're helping you guys in some way and you found value in today's podcast. And we'll be back next week. I believe we're still going to, unless something changes and we want to talk about something else, but we're planning on still kind of breaking down the IBD day and what the doctors talked about. I think we're got a few more things to talk about and share with you guys that are really going to be important.
Yes.
So you guys have a great weekend.
Rest of your day.
Rest of your day, week, evening, morning.
By the time this posts, I hope you had a great Easter.
Yeah. If you celebrate
Easter. If you celebrate Easter, I hope you had a great Easter.
And if you don't, hope you just had a great weekend.
Had a great weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks everyone for listening. And we'll be back next week to see you on the next episode.
Yes.
Bye. Bye.
We hope you will stick around, tune in, and reach out to us with your own journeys. We are excited to give you an inside view of what it takes to be a caregiver and what it's like to be a patient.
And most of all, we hope you'll maybe be able to apply something you hear on here that might help you in your own life. Sometimes life changes, and it's all about how you handle the journey.